Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. BOGO is back. To order, go to EdenPure.com and put in code word Howie BOGO. Offer ends this Sunday, February 28th. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, New England. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining us today and every day. And we have a lot to get to. A lot of news out there. Bruce Springsteen's back in the news. There's Mitt Romney in the news making some accurate predictions. But what I want to talk about next is probably the most serious we're going to get in today's show. And it's because I read a piece from The Federalist. I really, really encourage you guys to check it out. It's titled, "One Year Later, Our Answer to Lockdowns Must Be Never Again." I will probably read the full piece in the next segment. But I'm lucky enough to be joined by David Marcus from The Federalist, who wrote this piece. David, thank you very much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
The first thing I want to talk about, and the reason that this piece really stuck out to me, because, I mean, and you know this, David, there's thousands of, you know, think pieces on the virus, but something you said that I don't think a lot of people are confident enough or courageous enough to write is that you said we need to start addressing the fact that much of this has been a big mistake.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I've covered this story from the beginning. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember when Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, and Kemp, the governor of Georgia, back in April, were accused by The Atlantic magazine of engaging in human sacrifice by opening their states. And we were promised that it was going to be absolute death and devastation. And 2 weeks later, it wasn't. And they said, well, wait 2 more weeks. So we waited 2 more weeks. 2 more weeks, it wasn't. 2 more weeks after that. And now it's absolutely clear that these states have at least as good a public health record, if not better, without having imposed the economic deprivation on their citizens that were imposed in places like New York and California. I don't know exactly what the situation was in Boston, but I know, you know, I know you guys had some of it too.
Yeah.
And there's no way to look at this anymore as a rational person and say these lockdowns made any sense, and we need to come to terms with that.
Yeah, and I'm going to read part of this paragraph here because this is what really stood out to me. You said, the only thing worse than being in prison is being in prison for a crime you did not commit. To realize that all of the missed weddings and funerals and concerts and gatherings and ball games and school plays and proms and even the touch of human skin were a mistake is painful. And I think that that's a big part of this problem is that people, rather than facing that and saying a lot of this didn't have to happen, they're just doubling down and they're trying to make themselves feel better about all of this damage they've caused.
It's very hard. I mean, we've all had friends who became extremely invested in this, not just as a matter of public health, but quite frankly, as a moral issue, right? In the earliest days of this pandemic, to even suggest slightly that closing schools and closing restaurants and closing businesses might not be the right thing to do brought down utter moral approbation. I mean, you were literally accused of wanting to kill grandma,
yeah.
Right? And when people invest themselves so deeply in an idea like that, when people invest themselves in the idea that I'm wearing this mask and that makes me a good person, you know, whatever it is, it's very hard to walk that back. And I'm concerned that we're not going to be able to do it as a society. And one thing that I do think has to happen is there has to be some generosity of spirit from people who did question this to allow for the fact that people were really gaslighted.
Yeah.
And not to treat them like idiots, but to treat them like people who were genuinely concerned and trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, and I think, David, too, and you touch on this a little bit, is that people were shamed, and people were made to feel like if they did question it, they were bad people or they didn't care about people. And that's a really easy way to gaslight people, is to make them feel like if they disagree, then morally they are not on the same page as everyone else. And so I agree with you. I think it's easy for people to say, oh God, this is all so dumb and this clearly didn't make any sense. But like you said, a lot of people were just worried that they were going to appear selfish or careless if they didn't follow the rules.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's absolutely true. I mean, one of the most, and it got so strange, one of the moments when I realized just how weird this had gotten was on Halloween, right? And I have a 10-year-old son, and I had picked him up from his piano lesson, and we were walking back home, and there wasn't trick-or-treating in Brooklyn, right? Like, he wasn't going to go out in a costume and trick-or-treat. Some people had put, like, bowls of candy out, which was great. But my son said to me, you know, Dad, it sucks that, like, there's no trick-or-treating this year. And I said, yeah, you know, it does suck. And I hope next year that, like, that won't be the case. So I just put on Facebook, you know, hey, you know, my son said this, and it really kind of hit me. And I was hit with this cavalcade of, like, Dave, why do you always make this sound worse than it is? What, you know, why do you always make this? And I'm like, whoa, guys, this is a 10-year-old kid who misses trick-or-treating,
right,
that you're reacting to here. And it really crystallized in my mind just how almost religious all of this had become to people. And that's a really difficult thing to unwind.
Right. And I agree with you. And there's something to be said for, you know, people make sacrifices. But part of what you said about the prison is what I think people relate to, because it's not now I don't want to make this about me, David, and I'm self-pity is not good box office. I learned that from my boss. But what I will say is, when you talk about people missing weddings, my wedding was postponed. Like I said a million times, that's okay. That's not the end of the world. I will survive. But the further out I get from it, I think, did it really have to be? Like, it's not so much that it's something extremely painful or extremely sad, but it's just kind of an unnecessary delay of life that I don't feel really had to happen. And when you talk about your son, it's like, you're not saying that the world is falling apart because your son didn't get to go trick-or-treating, but you're kind of saying, why doesn't he? Like, why are we taking this away if it's not really going to make a difference?
Yeah, and listen, I don't think, you know, I think in retrospect, like, your wedding probably shouldn't have been delayed, and that you have every right to you know, be annoyed at that. I've described this experience as being kind of like a pointillist painting, right? For those who don't know, these are guys like Seurat, right? And they do like little dots. And if you look really close, it just looks like dots. But when you step back, it's suddenly a landscape, right?
Right.
We were told that everything was a small sacrifice. Okay, you can't have your wedding. Okay, you have to wear a mask. Okay, you can't go to a baseball game. Okay, you can't go to the movies. Okay, you can't have, you know, all of these things. And yes, absolutely. Individually, all of these things were very small little things, you could argue. You put them all together and suddenly you have a landscape, and that landscape does look very much like a prison.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this was not done by normal political processes. This was not done by state legislatures. This was done by governors who were given dictatorial emergency powers and have had them for nearly a year. It's absolutely frightening. This is unprecedented. Americans have never been governed this way before. I don't even know if we can use the word governed. I mean, it sounds a lot more like the word ruled.
Yeah, and I'm talking to David Marcus from The Federalist. I love that analogy. I think that's actually very true, because as someone who's, I keep saying, and I know it's not a big deal, and I know it's not, you know, the world's not ending, but then you start to say that enough and you're kind of like, well, why can't I feel this way? Like, why can't I feel like I got screwed and other people got screwed and we're annoyed of it? Why can't I feel annoyed that kids are sitting at home learning on a computer screen instead of being in school? But David, I do want to ask you one more thing here, because You said about this that we are kind of stuck in these cages that we've built. And you said it gets harder and harder to slip them off as time goes by. Like, you can't just, we're not going to be able to just slip out of this back into our normal lives. We have to destroy these cages. And as much as I understood what you meant, what can people do? Because sometimes I talk to people and they go, listen, Grace, I'm just as frustrated as you are, but you get to talk about it for 3 hours a day and I have to go to work. So what can I do to really, like, make a stand and try to fight back against this control they seem to have over us?
Look, the best case scenario of this situation, and it's bad, it's really bad, is that a lot of this was just cynical electoral politics trying to hurt Donald Trump and Republicans. And there was a lot of that, right? That's clearly why my governor, Andrew Cuomo, who you know, now is like, you know, at the bottom of a log flume of scandal, was held up as the as the great hope for America. The far worse possibility that I fear may be the case is that this is a dress rehearsal, and that progressives have learned that if they can just point to a scary boogeyman in the closet, the American people will gladly hand over their constitutional rights. So I think what people can do is, people can understand that there is absolutely nothing in the Constitution that says if there's a pandemic, your rights get suspended. The founders knew about pandemics. They knew about pandemics far worse than this one.
Right.
They didn't write an exception. So I think the best thing that people can do as individuals is to understand that and to jealously, you know, guard their rights, you know what they are and celebrate them.
David Marcus from The Federalist. You guys can follow him at Blue Box Dave. Thank you so much for joining us, David. We're going to read your full piece on the other side. It's really awesome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Grace.
All right, guys. This week is the week you've all been waiting for. My friends at Eden Pure have brought back the ever so popular Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO offer. That's buy one, get one free. The offer expires Sunday, February 28th at midnight. I always say this. It's like Cinderella at midnight. The thunderstorm will turn into a pumpkin. I'm holding it up right now for the cameras. You guys really want to check these out. Over 60,000 sold. The thunderstorm is slated to sell out, so take advantage of this offer while supplies last. If you bought one and you love it, you're going to want to. I have two in my house, and they are very easy to move around, but having two is just nice because you can put one in the kitchen, and then you can use the other one to move around the house. Keeps everything fresh and clean. Jared likes it for his comic book room.
I do. And it doesn't eliminate odors like a lot of air fresheners that you'll hear about. This actually changes the air. It cleans the air. And it's amazing because it does it without a filter. It's not loud. It just ionizes everything. And the air is fresh. And if Dr. Fauci wants you to be in the house for the next 20 years, you may as well have a fresh air in the house, right?
But I think you bring up a good point, Jared, because a lot of people hear this and they might think it smells like, you know, covering up something with flowers or perfume. This is the absence of smell. It smells like fresh, clean, after a rainstorm. So it's not going to smell like perfumey or anything like that. The thunderstorm is below $100 and doesn't take up any room. So take advantage of this BOGO offer before it expires this Sunday or before supplies run out. I'm going to give this to you guys nice and slow. Go to EdenPure.com, put in code word Grace BOGO. That's EdenPure.com, Grace BOGO. Shipping is free. I'm sure that segment with David Marcus got a lot of you guys riled up. 844-500-4242. We'll be taking calls all throughout the next hour until 2 o'clock when I have another guest. So don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Teachers know that in-person education is really important, and it's, you know, we would have said that pre-pandemic. We knew that remote education, you know, is not a good substitute.
It is not a good substitute, but it seems like it's going to be here for at least the near future. Guys, this is the Grace Curley Show. I thank you so much for joining me. We just had an excellent interview, if I do say so myself, with David Marcus. He wrote a great piece in The Federalist, and I'm going to read it for you guys in 1 minute here. But first, today's poll question is brought to you by the 110 Grill in Plymouth, Mass. If you have not heard about this, we are running a contest, and today is the last day to enter said contest. To have dinner with me this Friday, go to 110 Grill in Plymouth and enter. Just say, I want to enter to win the free dinner with Grace. They will hand you a free copy of Howie Carr's book, Plug Uglies, just by entering. Enter to win the dinner today. It's the last day. Get thee to the 110 Grill in Plymouth ASAP. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Do you think the world will be back to normal by this summer?
I got to stick with yes, but I don't know.
Just 12% of the audience say yes.
12%?
Yes.
Come on, guys. I want to have a hot dog on a boat. I want to go to a BBQ. I want everything to go back. Okay, but let's read a little bit about this. If you guys want to weigh in, 844-500-4242. We will be taking calls for the next hour. This is 1 year later, our answer to lockdowns must be never again. As we approach the one-year anniversary of the coronavirus lockdowns, American society is at a crossroads. For almost the entire time it has taken for the planet to revolve around the sun, most Americans have been living under crushing and unprecedented restrictions. Now I'm going to skip down here a little bit. To put it bluntly, huge swaths of our citizenry have lived through these months in a country that does not resemble America, at least not any iteration of it we have previously known. In too many places like New York and California, we have accepted deprivation from our government, not because the data shows it works, the data don't show that, but more from a sense of moral obligation. Shutting up and obeying, you see, is what a good and caring person does. I'm going to pause here for a second. That's really what we were talking about, is there's this element of shame. And I actually have another guest coming on in the 2 o'clock who's going to talk about this. It's like a mind game type deal. If you can make people feel bad about not wanting to wear a mask, then you can get them to conform. From the beginning, there have been those who told us life would never really go back to normal, that we would have some kind of new normal. Now, even as we approach herd immunity, even as cases and deaths drop, even as the vaccine rolls out, there are those who assure us this is not over and that, in fact, it might never be. Paging Dr. Fauci. The radical changes to our lives that we more or less accepted over the last year were not carefully considered. They were not crafted with the careful balance of health versus rights. Instead, the former, in the form of a search for perfect safety, eroded our rights. Nowhere does the Constitution suggest that a pandemic suspends the freedoms and liberties granted us by God, yet we suspended them anyway. We did something deeply un-American. We put outcomes in front of freedom. We put results ahead of rights. What we must come to terms with now, and it won't be easy, is that much of this was all a bad mistake. The reason it is not easy is that we did give so much up. The only thing worse than being in prison is being in prison for a crime you did not commit. To realize that all of the missed weddings and funerals and concerts and gatherings and ball games and school plays and proms and even the touch of human skin were a mistake is painful. But painful though it may be, it has to be done. Finally, after a year of acting like scared children, we must be adults. Part of that, maybe the biggest part of it, is to accept how monumentally we failed this test. What we experienced was something once unimaginable. A United States without courage, a country corralled by paralyzing fear. For maybe the first time, America felt old and feeble. Like it would rather get some rest than lead the charge for freedom, liberty, and dignity. A year is a long time, even when measuring a nation centuries old. A year is not a blip. It is more than enough time for the plastic of new realities to harden. The cages we have built for ourselves are sturdy now. We cannot simply slip out of them back to the lives we want and remember. We must destroy them. We must blow up the flinty ribs of these prisons of our own making. The first step in doing so is to finally admit that we should never have built them in the first place. I'm going to continue this into the next segment and talk to you guys about it. I'm so on board with this. I think it's time that we free our minds and free our faces from these masks and just, I don't know, something's got to give. 844-500-4242. Call in to the Grace Curley Show. I'll take your calls in the next segment. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I guess there's some hearings going on in D.C. where they're talking about misinformation and Fox News and Newsmax and OAN, and Soledad O'Brien is there. Al Jazeera must be thrilled about this. Howie just called us and gave us the heads up. We're going to try to pull some sound from that. But I still do want to talk to you guys if you want to call in about these shutdowns, 844-500-4242. Let's play a little bit of sound here, though. There's this doctor named Naomi Wolf, and she was talking about the shutdown, and she was saying what I was talking a little bit to Howie about yesterday, which is this seems to be like an industrial complex situation where there's a new business involved in this, and none of this really has science behind it. Let's do cut 12, Jared.
I've been writing pretty much every day for months and months about what I see as the terrible crisis that we're in, that we have to recognize. Under the guise of a real medical pandemic, we're really moving into a coup situation, a police state situation.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like that right now, too. There does seem to be this thirst for power. No one seems to want to give it back. Andrew Cuomo is in no rush to give back his power, no matter how much people, you know, say he should. And there just seems to be this delay of ever letting up. No one wants to give us even a crumb anymore. They just want us to think this is the new normal and this is going to go on forever. Sean Spicer tweeted out, in the list of the media outlets you worked for, why did you admit Al Jazeera? This is what he wrote to Soledad O'Brien. Are you hiding your role? Here's the release announcing your agreement. So Soledad had tweeted out that the Subcommittee on Communications and Technology of the Committee on Energy and Commerce will hold a hearing titled Fanning the Flames, Disinformation and Extremism in the Media. So that's what we're looking for, is disinformation and extremism in the media. And it's pretty rich that Soledad is there, because Al Jazeera America signed Soledad O'Brien as a special correspondent in 2013. So that is the Ministry of Truth. Those are the people that are going to be telling us what we can and cannot watch from now on. Margaret, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Margaret, what's going on?
Hi, Grace.
Hey, what's up?
What were you saying now about you're all over wearing the mask?
Well, I'm over it for sure.
Yeah, I know. Well, today was 47 degrees here in New Hampshire, so it made me feel a little bit better. I went out to breakfast, then I went to Starbucks, and the person in front of me paid for my Starbucks, so it made me feel good today.
Very nice.
I'm going to wear my mask forever when places like, you know, Market Basket and things, because people are still dirty.
Yeah, and no, Margaret. I mean, I don't want to come off like I don't wear mine, or that, you know, if people feel that it makes them safer that they should wear theirs, they can do whatever they want. But at a certain point, I mean, aren't we supposed to follow the science? It was 15 days to flatten the curve. Now we're heading into the 1 year mark, the 1 year anniversary of this thing. That's insane to me. It's insane. And we have a vaccine, and no one seems to want to acknowledge that or say, hey, wow, we what a medical marvel. We have a vaccine. This is finally going to go away. Like, wouldn't that make the youth of America, these kids who God knows how damaged they are now mentally from all of this trauma of like people telling them the world is ending, wouldn't it make them feel better if the news media and everyone else were saying, this is great stuff. We have a vaccine. You're not going to have to wear these masks forever. But instead, they do the exact opposite. Lynette, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lynette.
Okay. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Lynette. What's going on?
Oh, I just thought I'd weigh in a little on the restrictions and everything.
Yeah.
I worked in the field for quite some time, and as probably all your audience knows this, this virus, the COVID, is a member of the SARS family, but the flu virus and your cold virus are too. What do they do with your cold virus? They say, just have the cold. We can't do much because it mutates so fast. There's a gazillion strains. We can't do anything for you. The flu virus, they for the next year's flu virus on what happened the previous year. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And now we have COVID.
Oh, you're breaking up a little bit, Lynette, but I do understand your point. I mean, that the craziest part of this for me, it was all crazy kind of from the beginning, but now the craziest part is that they basically have moved the goalposts so far that they don't want anyone to have this. They want zero people to have this before you're allowed to, you know, mingle with your friends. Howie always says about, you know, voting for a certain candidate, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. These people are letting utopia be the enemy of reality. We don't live in a world where you have 0% risk of ever getting sick or ever being injured. It's just not the world we live in. And way back when this thing first started, someone had the brilliant line that said, not dying is not living. And I thought, that's really true. Spending every single day trying not to catch a virus so you avoid any sort of life for yourself seems a little silly to me. Barbara, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi. I'd just like to say that, you know, it's hard to say that the pandemic is that bad by itself. You have to look at the whole thing of what's going on with the people and who's doing it. You have to ask that question, how is this happening? Because how much more can you tie people up or make a statement to them than to put barbed wire around the Capitol? I mean, they're in, we're out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I agree with you. It does seem like there's only so much of this people can take. At least I used to think that, but now I say to people all the time, I go, are you frustrated? Yeah. Yeah, I am. But people are defeated. People are numb to this at this point. Okay, guys, so let me tell you a little bit about what's happening. A group of Republican members of Congress are calling on Federal Communication Commission Acting Chair Jessica Rosen-Worcel to denounce any attempts by government officials to use their power to threaten a free press. And that, I guess, would be what's happening right now, the fanning the flames, disinformation, and extremism in the media. Disinformation, and I want to use an example here, because disinformation can really be whatever the left wants it to be. Are you ready for this? So Ryan Saavedra, who I follow on Twitter, he put out an old tweet from Malcolm Nance, who I guess is going to be at this House Judiciary Committee that Democrats are having today. And it's about domestic terrorism. I think this is the same thing, fanning the flames, extremism, etc. And this is an old tweet from Malcolm Nance that he has since deleted. I believe it's from 2017. Okay. He tweeted out a picture of the Trump Tower in Istanbul. And he said, this is my nominee for first ISIS suicide bombing of a Trump property. That's pretty extreme. That's pretty hateful rhetoric or dangerous or whatever the words they want to use. So I saw this tweet because, you know, this guy is going to be telling us what's dangerous and what shows we can and cannot watch. And I thought, this guy, Malcolm Nance, like, there's no way he actually tweeted that. And so he's MSNBC's counterterrorism analyst, Malcolm Nance. So I went on Snopes, which is supposed to help you with misinformation. And this is what they said. I just wanted to know if he tweeted it. You know, like, and it should be that simple. Is this a real tweet? Yes. Is this a real tweet? No. Because I've made that mistake. On both sides, people come up with stupid fake tweets and then they get retweeted a million times. And it's annoying. I hate when I tweet a fake tweet. I'm telling both sides to stop doing that. You make everyone look stupid. I just wanted to know if it was a real tweet. And this is what Snopes says. Did a counterterrorism expert call for ISIS to bomb a Trump building? Now, I'm going to read you the tweet one more time. This is my nominee for first ISIS suicide bombing of a Trump property. Now, this is Snopes' answer. On April 18, 2017, various right-wing websites, including Newsbusters and Breitbart, reported a claim that Malcolm Nance, a retired Navy intelligence officer, veteran counterterrorism expert, and current MSNBC commentator, called for the Islamic State or ISIS to bomb property belonging to Donald Trump. But they say Malcolm Nance's tweet was taken out of context in a viral game of telephone. It wasn't taken out of context because I have all of the context right here. The context is the tweet. And the context is what he's replying to. That's the context. So rather than say yes or no, they say, it's complicated. And that's a trend with this stuff. If it's going to hurt Democrats, they are happy to create misinformation for you. They are happy to give you context and tell you what Joe Biden really meant. When Joe Biden said he had the most wonderful, what was the phrasing, Jared? The most wonderful voter fraud, you know, situation.
I believe it was the most extensive voter fraud operation.
In America, Snopes and all of these disinformation, all these places that are supposed to really inform you with the truth, were happy to tell you that that's not what Joe really meant. They're mind readers. They tell you, that's not what he really meant. What he meant to say, he was confused. And now Soledad O'Brien's going to lecture us about what news outlets can be trusted. She worked for Al Jazeera. Do you see the problem here? Do you see why some of us don't have faith in the American media? Bob, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, Grace?
Good. What's going on?
So listen, I just wanted to go back to the mask for a second. You know, little kids wear masks for 2 or 3 years. Their immunity system is going to be screwed. When they do take it off, you have to get sick when you're a child. That's how we build up defenses. We're going to have a lot of sick kids. It's not going to be from the pandemic. So it goes back to the cure will be worse than the disease.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. And I don't know how these kids do it. I see kids in my neighborhood biking, running, playing with these masks on. I mean, I give them credit. They're more disciplined with it than I am. I rip mine off every chance I get. If I'm out in the fresh air, there's no way I'm wearing one. You just need that fresh air. That's good for you. I don't know. We'll talk about that more on the other side. If you haven't tried Super Beats Hard Chews, you are missing out. Guys, you don't want to miss out on this. If you have bad circulation like yours truly, then they're great for that. But if you have high blood pressure, they're great for that. If you just want to feel healthier and get a little boost of energy, they're great for that. Super Beats Hard Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or the stimulants. Now you can take 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. You can also, they're so easy to take with you. They give you a bunch in these bags, but here's the best part. If you do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Chews, and you go today to getsuperbeats.com/grace, you will get a bag for free when you buy 2 bags. That's getsuperbeats.com/grace. Getsuperbeats.com/grace. Take advantage of this great offer. We'll be back on the other side with more of your calls. 844-500-4242. I'm Grace, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly.
Some more breaking news here. Former Andrew Cuomo aide details sexual harassment accusations. This just coming out now. It was all over Fox News. I think he's got another press conference today, too, Governor Cuomo. And the most amazing part of everything to do with Cuomo is that it hasn't slowed Fredo down one bit. Anytime Fredo can jump in on something on Twitter and like morally virtue signal and pretend he's better than people, he will. And I'm just thinking to myself, do you ever say, maybe I sit this one out? Do you not see the dunk coming at you? You have no self-awareness, Fredo? He really doesn't. Lynette, you dropped off a little bit in the last segment. What's going on, Lynette?
I'm back like a bad penny. I'll make it fast.
Go ahead.
My point was that I wanted to say that they really don't have a handle on it because it's highly mutant and it is highly contagious. And anything they say probably would repudiate what they said before, especially His Royal Highness, Dr. Fauci. And so they're not being honest. And I always said, half-truths do far more damage than an outright lie.
Yeah.
So they have people going in circles. And I can also tell you that wearing a cloth or a paper mask, it seals right through them. Put on five if makes you feel good, but guess what? So they don't have a handle. They're dealing in half-truths. And unfortunately, it's being used for political power by the Democrats mostly, and we're kind of like in a bad place. That's all I have to say.
Lynette,
but we can get out of it someday.
Yes, Lynette, thank you for the call, and I do agree with you. I think there's a lot of half-truths going on, and I also think there's a lot of predictions going on, and I said this yesterday to Howie. I said, it's one thing to make 10 bad predictions, but you come out the next day and you make 10 more. Maybe just stop guessing at things. If you're bad at guessing, try something else. I'm talking to you, Dr. Fauci, but it's not time for the Fauci rant. We have some sound from these hearings, the Fanning the Flames hearings that are taking place. Go ahead, Jared.
It's from the Chinese Communist Party, not duly elected representatives of the United States Congress. Here we cherish free speech and a free independent press. We believe in dialogue and in the battle of ideas. Rather than censure and silence constitutionally protected speech, the answer is more speech. That's the American way. And surely, Chairman Pallone, Chairman Doyle, you agree with me. You have once believed that you stated that you believe threats against broadcasters for airing legally protected speech to be illegal. Less than a year ago, you sent a letter to the FCC decrying attempts to censure or interfere with broadcasters' discretion to air legally protected content. I would ask you to take a look at this letter, and I ask unanimous consent to enter this letter into the record.
She did a great job. That was Kathy McMorris, Representative Kathy McMorris. And they floated this idea for a while. Like Brian Stelter and Oliver Darcy have always said, you know, they want to get Fox News off the air and, you know, boycotts of Tucker Carlson. But it always just felt so far away to us. It always just felt like something that was never going to happen. But then they take Trump off Twitter. And then, you know, you get in trouble for saying certain things. And it feels like it's getting closer and closer. And to have Soledad O'Brien telling us what we can and cannot listen to, or better yet, to have Brian Stelter and CNN telling us what we can and cannot listen to. It used to be if you didn't like something, you changed the channel. Now it's call up your cable provider, get the channel taken off the guide. It's not good enough just to not watch Fox News. You have to destroy Fox News. You have to make sure Fox News never existed. Or Newsmax, or OAN, or anyone that didn't run with the Russia hoax like those good journalists are supposed to do. It's really amazing. And these people don't, they really don't think that they're part of the problem. These journalists, they don't understand that they're just echoing whatever Biden wants. I mean, I saw a clip a couple weeks ago of Yamiche Alcindor. She was talking about the Biden administration, and you could tell that she was repeating talking points and that she was acting as a representative, basically, of Joe Biden. And you could tell because she was kind of fumbling over certain words and trying to get it out. These people are, they're all arms of the Biden administration, and it's gross. And what's worse is, like that woman Kathy said, Kathy McMorris, they want less voices, not more. That's not how it works in media. We'll be back on the other side, guys. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.